my wonderful friend. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is the program where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion and the Bible, and where we look at the world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I am Nick Rita, your host, and thank you for tuning in. It's our pleasure to have you with us today. Stay with us for this hour and be part of the program. You can send us a text message with a thought, a comment, just a question, or maybe a prayer request to 0488-808-111. Why not to come along with us today and say your thing? But I'd like to say hello today to our co-host, Caden Pepper, and it's good to have you with us, Caden.
Yeah, how you going? Good to be here.
Good, good. Look, the year is going so fast, Caden, and we are right to the end of it.
It's just gone all of a sudden, eh? I don't know what's happened.
Absolutely right. I believe you've been a very busy man also. You're looking after a couple of churches here in Adelaide in South Australia, Brighton Church and
Merrows Park.
Merrows Park.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you have churches, you know, there are lots of things going on.
Yeah.
But also we enjoy having you on radio, you know, from time to time.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to have you a bit more often, but, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to be here more often.
Everyone is busy and we try to juggle around, you know, and have people with us when possible. But, anything which you're looking back now for the year gone, you know, and anything which stood up for you, or was some challenging things over this year, or what have you experienced?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. In the churches, we've been doing a lot of different events and looking at various subjects in our churches, and we've been looking at also healthy living and running cooking classes.
Oh, beautiful.
At our churches, and we've been having a great turnout to the cooking demos where we cook the food, demonstrate it, and then we sit down, have a dinner and eat it together. So, yeah, we're looking to start those again next year and have them once a month, and we have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Plant-based cooking classes in Adelaide, and it's in Brighton. We've got a calendar, mm-hmm. We're about to just publish that. And so, yeah, once a month, we'll have all the dates there, and
we can announce that on the radio here when that's finalized.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we run ads on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and so yeah, listen out for our cooking demo ads,
mm-hmm.
And you're very welcome to come along. And yeah, so just listen out for more information about that. That'll be on air or on our Facebook page. Otherwise, you can go to the Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church Facebook page to look that up as well.
Yes. And if you like to go to visit one of these churches, Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church, I know that's on Amelia Street.
Yeah. It's in Hove there. And Merrows Park's church is on Edward Street, 123 Edward Street. But, yeah, we love it when we meet our listeners. So, yeah, if you ever have a Saturday morning free, feel free to pop in, and we'd love to meet you at one of the churches there.
Wonderful. Well, Caden, the year it's almost gone. A new year, looking forward, and I believe many people are starting already to make plans for the new year. One of custom, you know, almost every year is that people are setting up some new resolutions.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's a very interesting thing because we're
good at making resolutions, aren't we? And not so good at keeping them.
But that's the thing, because I read, you know, somewhere that, you know, more than 80% of those resolutions are not
is that so?
Followed up.
Wow.
But hey, it's good to make resolutions. It's good to start to think of some new things. The question is, what sort of resolutions are worth, you know, considering and maybe focusing on?
Mm.
Because it could be some resolutions which can get you in even more trouble than...
That's right. You want to make some solid New Year's resolutions, that's for sure.
Yes. But if I'll ask you now, Caden, what are some of the New Year resolution worth considering.
Yes, yeah, because I was given this topic to share, and so I thought I better have a think of what my New Year's resolutions should be. So, yeah, it really made me think, and I remember lying down in bed the other night thinking, you know, what's actually my New Year's resolutions? Because, you know, it's important to actually reflect on our lives and what we're doing. And you know, the scripture even encourages us in the book of Proverbs to reflect on our faith journey, and to make sure that we're turning to God in all the ways that we can. And so this is actually quite a biblical principle to just, amongst the busyness of our lives, to just have a break, have a reflection, a prayerful reflection, and ask God, what's some areas of my life where I could be better, could be time better spent with you, and on what truly matters. And so, you know, New Year's resolutions themselves are not in the Bible, but this concept is. And New Year's is a time where a lot of people have breaks. And so it's a good time, and I encourage you yourself to, yeah, maybe sit down with your partner or your children, or just by yourself if you're by yourself, and just write down some of your own resolutions that might be needed in your life. But I've restricted mine to six. I hope we can get through all six, but we'll see how we go. I remember previously we didn't get through what I wanted to get through, but we'll see how we go. So the first resolution for me that is the most important is reading the Bible daily. And this is just key for us as Christians. We just find so much clarity and peace from spending time in God's words. And the more time we spend with God, the more we become like God, the more He works in us and changes us. And Scripture encourages us to immerse ourselves daily in reading the Bible. And Nick, you probably find the Bible never gets boring. The Bible never gets old. Like, you can read the same thing over many times, and every time it's like you're reading it for the first time almost, because there's something different that the Holy Spirit draws out of it for you.
So true.
As you read. And so I don't encourage people having the attitude, I've read the Bible, you know, I don't need to read it again. Like, it's not like any other book, is it?
And that's a very interesting observation, Kenan, because it's one thing to read it as a book, you know, like that, just to say, okay, I read the Bible this year from Genesis to Revelation. But it's another thing to contemplate on what you're reading. And you're right what you're saying, because every time I read the Bible, I'm thinking, wow, how could I miss this? I didn't see this before, you know? But God is taking us on a journey, you know, and every time God knows where we are, maybe a step further or in a better position to chew, if you like, more on some of those teachings, you know.
One of my favorite Bible commentators described the Bible as like a mine where you have to keep digging, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and the Bible goes as deeper and deeper as you want it to go and harvest the minerals and the precious gems deep in the grounds. And so that is what the Bible is about, and there is a treasure lurking in there waiting for us to discover.
And I think there are some biblical foundations in this regard, you know, to look at how to really enrich your life, your spiritual life, by reading the Bible, and not just accomplish the yearly calendar, you know, like, I read the Bible. But there are some foundations there.
That's right. You know, I've tried the reading the Bible in the year plans, the yearly plans. I've looked at 3-year plans where it's spread out over 3 years, mm-hmm. and I've looked at plans that are even shorter. I've tried them, and they work for a lot of people. And so if you're wanting to start a Bible plan, there's many available, either online or even in the back of some Bibles or in the app. Mm-hmm. You can get these Bible reading plans and find one that suits you. For me, though, I've actually found they're not, they don't work for me. I personally feel too rushed reading the Bible at that pace. And for me, it's not like any other book where I want to finish it and say, I finally read a book.
Mm.
It's actually not that at all. It's something where I want to take my time, and I want to not only just read it, I want to reread it and really pray over it and digest over it and get my highlighter out and make some scribbles or do some research as I do it. So for me, I actually don't follow a reading plan. Personally, what I do is I've started from Genesis, and I've just every morning just read a portion of scripture going all the way through. Some days it might be a chapter. Other days, if the chapters are a bit longer, I might read half a chapter or just a section where it's broken up. Other people they might not start Genesis. They might start to choose at the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark is a really good one to start from. Also, the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts is also another good one, because Luke also wrote Acts. And so if you read Luke and then you read Acts, you've got the continuation of the story of Jesus and in the early church. But whatever way you do it, just choose a way that suits you. But
and take your time, as you said. Yeah, don't rush into it just to say, all right, I missed yesterday, I better read today double, and just to keep up with that. I know I did what you just said. I did those things before, and I find out right now, actually myself, I'm in the book of Jeremiah.
Yes.
That if you follow a plan, that will be in the first part of the year,
That's right.
Some mid-year.
But
I'm the end of the year now, and I'm still in the book of Jeremiah.
Yes.
And I'm enjoying that. I'm discovering some things there which I overlooked.
Before. That's right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, I encourage going slow. Gives me a bit of anxiety when you're trying to cram in this portion of Bible reading, and you can't really get much from it when you do that. So, we encourage you to go slow. But, God tells us that the Bible is just so important for our daily lives. And by reading the Bible the first thing in the morning before you start your day, you are setting up your day for success. And there's a lot of people go to the gym, or they might do mind exercises, but I encourage you, the first most important thing in our day is to set time aside to read Scripture. Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." And I think that's very special to start the day with reading the Bible and finish the day with reading Scripture. And then you're really immersing yourself in God's words.
And I like this is meditate on it. It's just not that you read it, okay, done this one, move on to the other things of the day. Everything what you do in the day, it's important, and of course we have so many tasks to do, but it's nice when you can reflect and contemplate on what you read in the morning, or maybe even towards the end of the day, to still consider that, to be a highlight of the day, if you can.
Yeah, and it truly is a highlight of the day, and it puts you in a really good frame of mind. It's certainly not time wasted. This morning I was reading Proverbs 11, and there was some confronting stuff in there for me, and so there was bits in there where I was praying as I was reading it. Mm. And I think this is what this word meditate here means. You know, you're prayerfully thinking over what you're reading and asking God, please help me to apply this into my life. I'm sorry if I haven't been doing so. And, yeah, just wrestle, pray with God about what you're reading and talk to him. Have a conversation with him about it as you're reading. You know, there's – in fact, we've done a lot of research on Christians who read the Bible, and it's interesting there's some really good benefits that even our worldly scholars have picked up from reading the Bible. Research from the Lifeway Institutes says that regular Bible reading is associated with lower rates of depression and anxiety. So that is a fact. And also the study found that individuals who read the Bible four or more times a week experience stronger spiritual growth and were less likely to engage in destructive behaviors. Mm. So the research is backing up the biblical truths that it's very worth our while to be reading the Bible. And with the epidemic of depression and mental health these days,
yes.
I really encourage our listeners to turn to the Bible and make this your number one New Year's resolution.
Mm. That's very important what you said just the other week. We talked about these aspects, you know, and the mental health, how skyrocketing it, you know. Bible has so much, I mean, you can benefit so much on just reading in the Bible.
Yes.
Open, and what I prefer myself, to open even that book of Proverbs.
Yes.
For example, I used to read the book every month, once every day, a chapter like that, and I used to read it again and again, because it gives you so much, you know, inspiration.
Yes.
And Psalms, again,
yes,
another good
beautiful
book to read. The Bible is all over. It's wonderful. And you know how it is, as you pointed out, the Holy Spirit can guide you to a portion of the Bible which suits you.
Mm.
In the context.
Yes.
You are.
That's right. Yes. And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it gives you so much hope and encouragement as you're going through your life and you're facing the particular challenges that you're facing.
Beautiful.
Okay. The second resolution that I've got, which is closely linked to the first one, is daily prayer. And, you know, I've done some research on Christians and how much they're praying, and it's terrifying. to see how little Christians are praying. And we're told that the devil and his angels flee when we pray. And yet so many Christians are not praying. And the Bible tells us that when two or three gather together to pray, Jesus is in our very midst.
Yeah.
So, you know, prayer is just so important. It's described as the equivalent of the necessity of us breathing as humans.
Mm.
As a Christian, prayer is the breathing that we do to keep our relationship with God alive and strong. So I was very surprised and terrified when I saw the stats at how many Christians are not praying regularly or at all. And, you know, this is saying that the devil wants to happen because he knows there's power in prayer. And there is I've seen so remarkable answers to prayer, and I've experienced so much that's happened in my life through the power of prayer. I'm fully convinced of how important prayer is, and I encourage you to taste and see. If you could be praying more, I encourage you to taste or see, as the Bible says, to try it and set regular times in your day to come to God in prayer.
You're saying here that there is opposition when you have that intention or you intend to pray. There is opposition because
yes,
the enemy of God, the devil, doesn't like you to pray.
No.
Because there is power in the prayer.
Yes.
Daniel comes in mind, you know,
a
character
he?
In the Bible who he set up himself to pray at least, you know, three times a day. I'm sure
yes,
he prayed more than that.
Oh, yes.
But that was for him not a routine, but what's the best word, the better word to use? It was for him a special time with God to pray in the morning, maybe midday or in the evening. And just saying that, Caden, I'd like to mention this on air. My dear friend listening today, if you need somebody to pray for you, or if you know that somebody needs your prayers, why not to pause for a moment and pray for somebody? And we'd like to pray for you too. If you send a text message to 04-888-808-11, even if we cannot pray on air, we'll make sure that we'll pray for you. And we can do that. I'm thinking that will be nice to even pray right now as we're going into this step. The resolution which you said that you put up for yourself. Why not to pause for a moment and pray?
Yes, yes.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love and kindness towards us. We thank you that you gave us your word, that we can be encouraged, we can be strengthened when we go in life with so many difficulties, particularly in these days, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to pray more, to connect with you more on this level, because prayer, it's a connection with you, Lord. As you said, you are only a prayer distance from us. You are not somewhere there in the end of this universe. You are with us, and you want to hear us, what we're going through, and to pray to you. I pray now that if there is somebody out there listening now and they need prayer, I pray, Lord, that you'll visit them and you'll strengthen them and you'll give them wisdom or whatever they need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you're right, actually, that we should pray more. And even on air here, we sometimes rush through the program and we don't pray that much. We may think that people are not interested in prayer, but actually you are just showing us here now that prayer is a very fundamental aspect of our relationship with God and maybe our growth in not only spiritual growth, but even other aspects of life.
Yeah, what I've really appreciated is before we go on air, we always have time set aside where we have a prayer as a team before we go on air, and that's something that's very important for us. And when we're opening our Bibles, also something very important, we should be praying before we open the Bible, so that we pray for God's Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us as we read. You know, prayer in the Bible is so highlighted. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, how's that possible? You know, I need to do stuff, whatever it might be. How can you actually, you can't just sit there and pray all day, every day, but it's not talking about that, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You have set times where you pray, like Daniel did. Also, David had set times. He says in Psalms 55, he also did the morning, the noon, and the evening as well. But then you can be praying throughout your day as well, and you can just be praying to God through your thoughts, a conversation as you go about your day. Just keep in constant dialogue with God as you go throughout your day. And asking for his blessing, his input, his help, whatever it might be, we encourage you, as Scripture says, to pray without ceasing. And you can only understand that when you are in a relationship with God and you just want to talk to him whenever you have the chance.
Beautiful. Well, probably it's a good time here to take a short break, and we'll play a song here. While you are contemplating of the need of prayer, I have this beautiful song also. Today it's a new day, and how beautiful it is to start a new day with prayer and reading the Bible, as we just mentioned. Just listen to this song, and we'll be back shortly.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio. paints the skies with every new sunrise. Everything will be alright. You're always by my side. I'll leave my cares behind. Today is a new day. So shine, shine down. Chase the clouds away.
A new day, and very soon will be a new year, and praise God for that. This is Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Nick Rita and Caden Vapor. We are here talking today about what are some New Year's resolution worth considering. And just before the break, Caden took us through some of his New Year resolutions, and he was talking to us about the importance of daily Bible reading, and that's very important, actually. And just before the song, we were talking about prayer, how important is prayer also. And my dear friend, if you are in need of prayer, let us know. Send us a text message on 04-888-808-11. On this number, I would like to come now with the offer which we have for today. And it's a wonderful book, The Whole Person Life by David Marshall. And, you know, health, it's a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, not merely the absence of disease. So how it's achieved? You need to read this book by David Marshall, Whole Person Health. And to do that, you need to ask us for the book. And you send us a text message with the code SA 245. SA stands for South Australia 245. That's the code. Don't leave any space in between SA 245. Just send it to 0488880811 and our good friend the bot will take you through. Now, Caden, as I said, you took us through to the importance of Bible reading and then prayer. What else is important and what else you consider as a New Year resolution for you?
Yeah, so we're up to number three now. So number three that I've put down is attend church weekly every Sabbath.
Mm.
And you might say, oh, you're a pastor. You get paid to say that. Well, I wasn't always a pastor, and I learned very quickly how important attending a community of believers is and how important this is in Scripture and what God calls us to do. And I also say the Sabbath because in the Bible, everyone went to church, or the synagogue it was called in those days, on the Sabbath. And even in the New Testament, when Jesus was here on earth, he went to church every Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And when Jesus called his disciples, he said to them, follow me.
Mm.
And so he's called us as his disciples today to follow him in all ways. And if Jesus went to church every week on the seventh day, that's good enough for me, and I want to follow his example. And so it wasn't just Jesus, it was all the early believers. You read Acts, you find Paul went to church on the seventh day every single week, and all the others. And the Bible teaches how important this is because God foresaw in the future when the Bible was written that people would neglect going to church. And so in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, Paul tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So even in his day, there were people who were neglecting that.
Backsliders.
Yeah. Well, there's a growing trend of people in our world that believe you can be a Christian without going to a church. Many people find church has a lot of negative connotations to it. Maybe they've had bad experiences. Maybe churches haven't got the best reputation. You know, I acknowledge that. However, none of those matters should get in the way of us following a biblical command, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I know there is challenging people in every church, and there are beautiful people in every church. But we need to remember we're not going to church for the people. We're not going to church for a good time or to be entertained. We're going to church to worship. We're going to church because we've been commanded to have that time with God. And when we change our attitudes, everything changes. There was a time in my life where I went to church every week. I may have come a bit late, and during the service, I may have made remarks or thought things along the lines of, this is boring, you know, I'm not getting anything from this. But later in life, I repented of that because God showed me from his scripture that it's not about me. It's not about getting something out of it at all. It's all about God, and it's all about worship of him. And when you change the focus from yourself to God, church in my mind changed forever. And so for me, it didn't matter the people. You know, there's always great people who you get along with, and there's other people who your personality doesn't click with, and you might have conflict with.
You can be sharpened sometime. You know, you go among a group of people, and not everybody will act as you expect. But actually, it's even a learning or a toughening process, whatever you want to put it. But you're right. You don't go there and you don't stop going because some people were, not as you expect. Of course, it's nice always to have the best people around you, because these days with negativity and all those things, yeah, it can influence. But if you are strong on your relationship with God and you know exactly why are you going there, then I think those things are secondary.
Yeah, I get so sad when people have left church and they've left the faith and belief in God altogether, and then they say because of this experience they have with someone.
Yeah.
They're ultimately saying they're giving up on God and eternal life and salvation over, some people who may have caused trouble for them. I have no doubt that their words might have been true, but, you have to think what truly matters.
Yeah.
An individual who had a particular problem or matter, or our eternal salvation with God. And so, yeah, I encourage you, whatever experiences you may have had, ask God for help to cast them aside, to forgive, and to commit to worshiping God and attending a church every Sabbath.
Yes. I mean, the best example is Jesus. As you pointed out, Jesus attended church on the Sabbath day, and imagine how many people were there who tried to catch Jesus, to hurt him, to
throw him out,
and all those things. But Jesus didn't look at that.
No.
Another thing which, when you mentioned about, because you wanted to say that it's important to go to church on the Sabbath day.
Mm.
And I was thinking for a moment, I said, well, that's very interesting, because how many people are going today on a Sabbath day to church? The majority of people are Christians. They go on Sunday to church. Some other people go on Friday to the mosque or other places, But I was thinking for a moment and I thought, how important is to go to church on the Sabbath day, the only day which God blessed and sanctified, when he finished the creation and he rested on the seventh day, and he said that he blessed and sanctified. I will choose to go on the day which is blessed and sanctified by God.
That's right. And, there's a reason why a lot of churches now go on Sunday. However, it's not biblical. And the churches are upfront about that. You go to the official documents of these churches and they'll tell you that this is not biblical and, this has been changed. You go to if you're a Catholic, the Catholic Church will acknowledge this in their catechism. The Anglican Church will acknowledge that Sunday keeping is not in the Bible in their manual. I've read the Hiscox Baptist manual. That makes it very clear that going to church on Sunday is not biblical. And the Salvation Army and just a number of, they admit, and, I appreciate them doing so. Because you can't change scripture. You can't teach anything that's not in the Bible. So I do appreciate them saying that. But if we want to follow the Bible and the Bible only, there is no other day.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's move on, because time it's flying, and we are up to now number four.
We're up to number four. So number four, I've put down, time for family and family worship. And I've seen some scary statistics of how many families are spending quality time with each other. And there's some statistics that says an average father spends less than a minute of quality time with his kids every week. That was quite horrific. It's a growing trend that we're becoming very busy and we're spending less time with the people who matter in our lives. And so the Bible actually encourages us to spend time with each other, and especially time with God as a family, to build each other up and to grow each other. And that's why God gave us the family. That's why he made Adam and Eve and instructed them to have children, to make a family. because it's a family, the family units, which is sacred and such an important part of our lives that we do not want to neglect. And if we have children, the Bible encourages us to be spending time with children and to teach them.
Mm.
We can't leave the teaching up to schools and school teachers. That's not enough. The parents as well need to be teaching. And I'm a parent. So I've got two boys, and so I'm speaking to myself here. I need to be teaching my kids, and I need to be spending time with my kids. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "And these words you shall teach them diligently to your children." Here is Moses instructing parents. And, you know, that word diligence means a lot.
Yeah, have quite heavy, you know, weight there.
Yeah, you know, it's very important. And in the Bible, we see Timothy's example, where he was nurtured by both his mother and his grandmother. That's recorded in 2 Timothy. And, you know, the young minds are maturing and are growing and developing, and they need their parents or a parent to be able to help them to learn the truths of God and to set them up for life. And there's some research conducted on families that have regular worship together, and the research revealed that these families have stronger relationships with one another. They're closer and they have shared values. They get along and they agree. There's harmony in those families. And daily worship with our family members is also something that I've noted down as a New Year's resolution for myself. And I'm talking about a time, whether it's in the morning or the evening, where you have the family together and you spend some time, you know, have a prayer, maybe a story, Bible story reading or scripture reading, maybe some music or singing of a hymn, but just some quality time as a family, reflecting on the day, and with the spiritual aspect of it, that should be a priority.
Yeah, very important. And I would like to just say something here. If you are looking into this similar New Year resolutions, and you may come across that it's quite difficult to do, and it is. You know, it's like always, even like a habit, or even if you want to give up some, you know, things which you think that's not as healthy as should be, takes time, but perseverance. It's very important, because God will give victory. And I know what you're saying here, Caden. These days, families are struggling with coming together and have worship together. But, you know, you may try and fail again. Try again and try again and again. That's the, you know, what I would like to encourage everyone and myself.
That's right. Okay, let's move on to the New Year's resolution number 5, which I put as healthier lifestyle habits. And I've been on a journey in my life to every year trying to go to the next level and get healthier and healthier. And this is be triggered by, I guess, health issues as well, where, you know, I've experienced some really bad health consequences from not having a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, by what I'm talking about here is what we're eating, drinking, putting into our bodies. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about in this section here. And I've searched for answers in many places in the past when I've had these medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to doctors, specialists. When I had pains, mysterious pains all over my body, I've gone to chiros and physios and massage therapists, you name it. But none of them were able to help me. Even, you know, the doctors and the specialists, after many tests and whatever else, they could not get to the bottom of it until I prayed and I asked God. And he revealed to me that it was what I was eating and putting into my body that was actually affecting me and giving me a lot of pain. And, you know, I'm talking about intense pain I was experiencing.
Wow.
And so I removed from my diet a lot of things. I removed a lot of processed foods, a lot of artificial flavors, enhancers, mm-hmm. colorings, you name it, anything artificial, that all those numbers and stuff that are in the ingredients list, I removed those from my diets. And, you know, it was amazing how quickly my body healed itself after I made those changes. And I just couldn't believe that what I was eating had such a negative effect upon my health and was causing so much inflammation in my body, which then we know leads to diseases. And so I praise God that He revealed to me this important information about health.
Wonderful.
And so I've been on a journey to going towards a plant-based diet. And I've progressed from being a vegetarian, and now I'm getting, you know, closer towards a vegan, and just removing those things in our diets that's we're not supposed to have in our diets. If you read the Bible, God made us to have a plant-based diet. You go to Genesis; it says this. When we get to heaven, we're also going to be eating a plant-based diet because there's not going to be any killing mm-hmm. of animals in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So the biblical worldview of eating is plant-based. And so I've been on a journey to do that, and I'm going to continue my journey this year.
And while you're saying that, because I know there will be people saying, but hey, in the Bible it's mentioned that people ate lamb and other things, and talking about here clean food in particular. And yes, that's okay. Look, I grew up at the farm, and in back in those days was a difference to eat something from the farm, clean meat and so on and so forth. But these days, you don't know what you eat. And as you said, everything is enhanced with this and that. And yeah, we're not saying here that it's a sin to eat meat, clean meat.
No.
But we are raising up the concern that we live in a time when God is inviting us to remember and to come back to the original, you know, because to prepare for, as you said, living a everlasting life where you are not going to eat meat, I believe, and all those things. The Bible says that you may plant your vineyard and you may eat from your vineyard and so on and so forth, but not talking about meat and stuff like that. But, you know, with health, here you mentioned a couple of important things, you know, and when you think about that, God is very interested in that. You know, Jesus himself, he always approached people and says, do you want to get well? Now, he was thinking also of a spiritual healing, but he approached most of the times people with their condition. And Jesus even says, well, go and don't do these things anymore. Now, to what Jesus referred, that's maybe to ask Jesus when we'll see Jesus in heaven, because he didn't explain everything, but goes hand in hand, as you just said. And if you learn, you know, my mother used to say these things, that you can become your own doctor. You can learn the things which you need to address by exactly what you just did, Caden, and you said about your own experience. And you tried all other means, but in the end, God showed you that, hey, you need to do this also.
Yes, I need to get rid of my sweets and my chocolate and all the naughty things I was eating. And I had dramatic change overnight. And, you know, this is a biblical principle. We read in the Bible characters such as Daniel and his friends who chose a plant-based diet and stood up for that in trying circumstances.
Yes.
They were offered the king's delicacies, food off the king's table, all sorts of meat and foods and all that that weren't necessarily healthy but were popular and customary.
Yes.
However, they made a stand and said, no, test us. Give us a test of 10 days to see, you know, if we're healthier after eating a plant-based diet or are the other people who are eating the king's food mm-hmm. healthy after 10 days? And the Bible reveals after the 10 days, Daniel and his friends had so much better health and were a lot more prosperous than the other people. And so they then allowed Daniel and his friends to continue eating their plant-based diets.
I always enjoyed that story when I read the Bible. And yeah, as you just said, reading the Bible can give you very, very good insights. Now, time is going fast. Now we have a few minutes left here for the last the last one which you choose.
Yeah,
today.
So the last one is linked to this topic, and I've put the last one as regular physical activity, so exercising. And I'm just, as we've said about so many times already, we've got not too much time in our lives, and often exercise gets neglected. However, it's something which is important and has a lot of health benefits. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, that bodily exercise profits us. And 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and we are to glorify God with our bodies. Mm. And the Bible teaches that physical exercise is so important. Modern-day science tells us how important it is, that it increases our mood, it boosts our energy, it reduces the risk of chronic diseases, it helps our sleep quality and our overall mental health. And I've made the resolution, and I encourage you to think about making the resolution of engaging in regular physical activity daily.
Mm.
And it could be a walk. You know, that's an excellent start, walking. That's something a lot of people can do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people choose swimming. Mm. Now that's, you know, a non-intrusive physical activity for a lot of people. Others choose a sport that they like to engage in. Other people go to the gym. Whatever it is, choose something that works for you and you enjoy doing. And I also encourage you, if you have the benefit of having a partner or a friend who you can hold accountable with this, that goes a long way as well, because in my experience, some of these resolutions can fall flat unless you have accountability.
Group support.
So, yeah, particularly in this one, if you have the luxury of having someone to help you to keep you accountable and doing exercise with them, that could be tremendous. Here in Adelaide, we've got our tallest mountain in this district. It's called Mount Lofty.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember some years ago now, me and a friend, we committed to every week – once a week, we would meet at the base, and we would climb the mountain every week, and then go to the top, and then go down to the bottom. And we would do that once a week, and that was a tremendous time of exercising and engaging with one another. Mm. And really enjoyed that.
Wonderful. Yes, and spend quality time in exercising and also socializing with people when you do it with somebody else. It's right, because, and that's another thing, I've seen many people going for a walk and with headphones on and things like that. It's good when you can talk to somebody,
and listen to the sounds of nature as well.
That's it. Sometimes we maybe forgot about the sounds, even a little fly flying around, we may not remember those noises. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Caden, for taking us through some of your New Year resolutions. And I believe most of these will apply for each one of us, and there will be even many more to add. And we can add on our own, choice. Whatever we think we need and evaluate our life. But what you chose here, I think there are very fundamental, very important things to consider, all of them.
Yes.
And thank you again for sharing with us. Now, would you like to just close on this program with a prayer? And, as I said, we are the end of the year here. Maybe just let's thank God for how he led us, and to ask him to be with us as we step in the new year.
Yeah, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise and glorify you for our life and that you've given us, Lord. And we just praise you for the ups this year and the challenges this year and the people that we have in our lives that you've given us, dear Lord. Lord, we just think of you constantly, and we think of these resolutions that we might make in the new year. And Lord, I just pray that you convict us of the changes you'd like us to make in our lives, Lord, because you have desires that you want to help us and give us the power to do these things, Lord. And we just ask for anyone listening that you give them the motivation and the power to be able to fulfill your desires in their hearts, Lord, so that 2025 can be a great year of spiritual growth and revival. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and the whole year. We wishing you a safe, you know, holiday, and may God bless you all. Join us again next time when we'll be live somewhere around the end of the month next year. And may God be with you all. I'm reminding you to grab our offer, which is called Whole Person Health by David Marshall. The code for this book is SA245. Send that code to 0488880811. And I'm leaving you with a piece of music here. May God richly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Stand, no legacy survive unless the Lord does raise the house in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ, His rule.